Romans chapter 14, we're going to pick it up in verse 13. If you need a Bible, lift up your hands. The ushers will get a Bible into your hand. Again, Romans chapter 14, picking it up in verse 13. Hey, a couple other things we want you to be aware of. We do need some help in the video room, in the media room. So if you want to kind of get involved in the ministry, I know some people want to be involved, but you're kind of afraid people might see you or look at you. So if you do the media room, you're tucked away in a room. Nobody even knows who you are. They'll know when you make a mistake, but they won't know it's you. So it's okay. So, hey, that's a great thing, kind of hide away there. Also, CareNet Crisis Pregnancy Center, on July 28th, Chili's, the restaurant, is giving 15% of the meals that you're going and eat back to the CareNet. So you can get the flyers and stuff. You need the coupon. You can grab that at the information center. Go July 28th, and they'll give that back to CareNet. So that's kind of a cool thing to do and get involved in. Also, some people have asked when we're doing a pottery presentation near here. So we're going to be doing it at Calvary Midtown. That's a new Calvary in Tucson. Calvary Midtown on July 27th. So it's on Pima, East Pima Street or Road or whatever that is in Tucson. And if you want to get the address, it's in a bulletin. You can go online and find that at the website. But that's July 27th at 6 p.m. Oh, I thought it was at 7. Glad I read this. Been bad to show up late, huh? Wow. It's at 6, so you might want to get there at 6. So if you go at 7, it might be over. So anyway, 6 p.m. Huh, okay. So oh, I don't pay attention to things. I should. So anyway, hey, have a great 4th of July and celebrating that, and it's great, right? We live in a great country. We're blessed to live in such a great country and celebrating our independence. So let's pray. Lord, we do, God, thank you for this nation. And Lord, it's a great country to live in. And God, we do want to lift up our country. We want to pray for our country, pray for our leaders. Lord, as we get ready to celebrate the birthday of our country, the anniversary, Lord, I just pray that we would be men and women who, Lord, are diligent to pray for this nation and lift it up, Lord, not just a special time of year or when we, you know, kind of celebrate these things, but Lord, I pray that we would be on our knees for our nation, and we do thank you that we were placed here and we get to live here and the freedoms that we have, and Lord, we just praise you for that. And today, as we continue looking at Romans and, Lord, your will for our life and relationship with others, and Lord, the freedoms that we have in you. God, the fact that greatest thing that you've set us free from the bondage of sin, and then just the freedoms that we have, and the only limitation we have in all of those freedoms is love. And I pray that as we study today and look at that, that it would impact our lives. It would cause us, Lord, to really think about how we're living and what we're doing and the directions we're going. And God, most of all, that we, with our lives together corporately and how we interact with each other, that would glorify you and bring you honor and draw others to you. Lord, how great it would be to watch and see as the church really begins to be the church, and we would be able to watch and see a revival and a pouring out of your Spirit. So God, I do pray that you would bless this time, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we would leave here today encouraged, strengthened in our faith, ready to go out and to do the work of the ministry that you've put in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as we continue here, remember last week, if you were with us, we're looking at strong Christians versus weak Christians, and some of us have kind of the flipped around idea of who is strong and who is weak. The strong Christians, remember, are those who understand freedoms, understand who they are in Christ. The weaker Christians are those who need rules and regulations and set things up. And, you know, some of us go, no, you have that backwards. No, that's what Paul says, and that's the way he explains it. And then, last time we're looking, he says, don't judge one another, right? Just back off and quit judging. Now we're going to kind of change that whole direction as he's talking about freedoms that we have in Christ. And now he's going to change and say, you know what? You're not supposed to judge each other, but you're also to be careful on how you exercise the freedoms you have. Watch out how you do it. Be conscious of those around you. Be understanding of those who might be weaker than you. And have, you know what? Have a heart for them and care for them. I remember years ago reading Charles Spurgeon's biography. And I don't know how many of you know about Charles Spurgeon. He's like, I think, the greatest preacher of all times in the, you know, in the 1800s. And just a great expositor of the word, great teacher. And I don't know how many know it, but Charles Spurgeon had a habit. He smoked cigars. And some of you are going, oh, for shame. And, you know, you're going to have to deal with that and kind of reread last week's. But listen, he was a cigar smoker. And here's an interesting thing. He broke fellowship with another great preacher of that day. Joseph Parker was another great preacher in London. Spurgeon wouldn't fellowship with Joseph because Joseph Parker went to the theater. God forbid. And Parker wouldn't fellowship with Spurgeon because Spurgeon smoked cigars. And it kind of, and isn't it sad? They broke two men of God breaking fellowship over something that is a gray area in Scripture. Some of you may not think so. I know some of you have made up your minds that that's not, but it is a gray area in Scripture. It's not something well defined. And then Spurgeon, people would come to Spurgeon and they would tell him that cigar smoking's a sin. And he would say, no, it's not. It's only a sin if you smoke in excess. And they go, well, what is excess? And he says, two cigars at the same time. Spurgeon was quite the character. I think he was the Calvary Chapel guy. But listen, he went on, and then here's what happened. One day, and the story's different in different biographies that you read. It's different. There was either a sign in a cigar shop or an ad in the paper, but here's what it said. This certain brand of cigars had a big ad, whether it's in the window, maybe it was in the window and in the paper, and it said, this brand, whatever it was, the brand Spurgeon smokes. Charles Spurgeon never smoked another cigar after that. And that's what we're talking about here today. Yes, we have freedoms and we have, you know what, and we can exercise those freedoms, but we need to be very careful on how we exercise our freedoms and how that is going to affect others. What is that going to do to somebody else's life? How is that going to influence somebody else? Are we going to do something that might drag them down? And we need to be conscious of that, and we need to be aware of that. So remember last time we left off, and he said, and we left off where he said, don't you know that you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, right? And he says, quit judging each other. You're going to be judged. And then look at verse 13. Therefore is pointing back to the first 13 verses, but it's also pointing ahead to the next, 13 verses, including it. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. More, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. So here's what he's saying, man. Let's just resolve. Did you pick up on that? You might like circle that word, because that's a word we're going to have to be very intentional. We're going to have to really think about it. We're going to have to purpose in our hearts that we're going to take a high road. We're going to take a different road. Do I have the freedom, Charles Spurgeon, to smoke cigars? Absolutely. Am I going to exercise that freedom or not? Do I have the freedom? And we can just plug in anything. And, you know, I'm just going to use him because then I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. If I say anything else, some of you are going to say, why do you talk about me on Sunday? So listen, do I have the freedom to do that? Yes. But am I going to exercise that freedom? That's the question. And he says, listen, first of all, we need to not judge one another. We need to get over that, and we need to get past that. But we need to resolve in our own hearts, ourselves. Not resolve for somebody else. Not try to fix somebody else. We need to resolve in our own hearts that we will not put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, he's going to spend the next 11 verses kind of explaining what he's saying. Are you going to purpose in your heart that you're not going to put a stumbling block? Two different words he uses there. The first one for stumbling block is kind of like you ever walk along and there's a little raised part on the sidewalk and you kind of hit it, and you know, and kind of catch yourself, hopefully. Some of us face plant, right? And then everybody's watching, and then we get up real quick, and I'm fine, you know, and you're not. So listen, are you gonna resolve today in your heart to not put a stumbling block, something that's just going to trip somebody up? Are you going to resolve not to do that? Or even the next word, the word that he says, not a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Fall doesn't mean a fall from grace. The fall again is kind of you're caught up and you're stuck in a trap. Sometimes when we exercise our freedom, we do that to people. We don't just do a little stumble. We cause them to fall into a trap because of we have the freedom to do something they don't. And we need to understand that. Once again, this is areas that are gray. These aren't spelled out. But because of something in their life, because of something that's happened, they have to choose, we have to choose, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to mess those people up. And by the way, he's not talking about them losing their salvation or falling from grace or those kind of things. He's talking about just messing up their journey to such a degree that they're going to have a hard time. I don't want to be the cause in anybody's life where they could go, man, if it wasn't for you, I would be here with the Lord. But because of you and what you've done, I've like gone back 5 steps and I kind of have to catch up. Remember last week I used the whole illustration of talking to Randy, and I came in and Randy was playing a guitar lick, and I'm not going to tell you what it was. And it kind of bothered me, you know. It's something that bothers me from my past. And I said, hey, Randy, don't do that. Don't play that lick, okay? And he said, stick it in your ear. I just want to play it, man, because I like it. No, that's not what he said. Some of you are going, really? No, what did he do? He said, okay, because I surely don't want to. Listen, I don't want to stumble you. I don't want to be the cause for you to fall. I don't want to do that. Now, that's just a simple illustration. Spurgeon, not smoking cigars because they come out, you know, nationally advertised. Wouldn't it be horrible if everybody, if the things that you chose as freedoms were nationally exposed like that? You know, a lot of us would cut back on our freedoms. That's the end of the chapter, by the way. But listen, so he says, we need to resolve not to do that. So I want you to kind of think about resolving. Now, for homework, I put down 1 Corinthians 8, 9 here. But listen, for homework, you got to read 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9 is just one verse that talks about, but beware lest somehow this liberty, this freedom that we have of ours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. We need to watch out. So for homework, read 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. I got a couple other quotes I may not put up, I might. But read those for homework. Kind of get those in your heart and begin to understand. Same principle. You see, because this is a difficult area in the church. Obviously, the church at Rome, something was going on where people were doing stuff that was causing others to mess up. The church at Corinth, they were doing it. So once again, in the first century church, we had, guess who was in the first century church? Sinners. Just like us. It always cracks me up. People say, if I could have just been in the early church, it would have been so awesome. Obviously, you've never read your Bible. Listen, all these letters are correcting behavior in a first century church, right? So get that. Now listen, he goes on in verse 14 and he says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in and of itself. By the way, when we're talking about this, we're not talking about things that are spelled out in Scripture as sin. Don't come and say, I'm going to go commit sexual immorality and it's okay because I have the freedom to do that. No, you don't. Scripture's very clear about that, very explicit about that. So he's not talking about that. And then obviously in verse 14, he's not saying, okay, Paul's convinced that everything is okay. No, he's mainly talking about food here in their situation. He's talking about inanimate objects and that they're not the cause. It's how we handle them, okay? So I want to clarify that because I know some people read this and they go, man, I'm now convinced that the Lord Jesus said nothing is unclean in and of itself, so I can kind of go do almost anything. You know, in the 70s, when all of the hippies were coming to Jesus, their favorite verse in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 1, where it says, God gave herbs to the planet, and we should be using them. And they used them in zigzag papers, and, you know, kind of, yeah, God made this, it's cool. So listen, he's not saying that, okay? So don't go there. So listen, he's talking mostly about food here, but other inanimate objects. He says, I know and I'm convinced of the Lord that nothing is unclean in and of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Do you hear what he's saying? Listen, there's that stuff that, again, it's not in and of itself unclean. I could use Randy again, that guitar lick he was playing. It's not unclean. It's not horrible, but to me it was. Do you see what he's saying? So to that person, they can't handle it. So you and I need to understand that person who's weak, we need to just come alongside them. We need to honor them, and we need to know that. Is it unclean? And listen, here's what I hear some people say. Well, I have the freedom, and it's not clean. You know, it's not unclean, so I can do it. You know, I'm going to go sit in the middle of Jerusalem and eat a bacon cheeseburger. No, you're not. That's not cool. That is not cool in any, you know, way, and you're not going to do that to people. So you need to understand. Listen, Paul was convinced. Remember Peter in Acts chapter 10? Remember the Lord let down a sheet? Remember he's up on the rooftop praying, and the Lord let down a sheet full of all kinds of animals, and he said, Peter, get up and eat. And Peter goes, no, not me. Do you know how holy I am? The Lord says, eat the stuff, dude. And then remember what he told him? He says, do not call unclean anything I've called clean. And he was demonstrating him and showing him to go and minister to the Gentiles. But do you know later on in Peter's life, he fell right back into that trap and fell back into that place where he was separating, where he wouldn't even eat with the Gentiles? You should read the book of Galatians. Because Paul has to get on Peter because he's saying, hey, Pete, what are you doing, man? Don't you remember the rooftop experience? Don't you remember what the Lord showed you? So listen, it's for some of us, it's difficult. It's hard. So listen, he says he's convinced, but one person might consider that thing unclean. Yet, verse 15, if your brother is grieved because of your food, that's why I believe he's, you know, specifically talking about food, you are no longer walking in love. That might be another part to underline. You see, the whole idea is, are you going to exercise your freedom or are you going to walk in love? You need to make the choice. You need to think about that and you need to decide what direction you're going to go. He says, you're no longer walking in love. He says, do not destroy with food the one for whom Christ died. I think that's huge. I think verse 15 should just hit your heart and should explode in your heart as you think about others and you think about maybe what you can exercise and what you can't exercise and things you can do. And he says, listen, he says, really? He says, because of a bacon cheeseburger, you're going to destroy one for whom Christ died? Let me put it another way. If Jesus is willing to die for them, can't you give up the cheeseburger? That's not asking a whole lot, is it? Jesus died for that individual. Can't you just give that up? Can't you set that aside? Can't you choose not to do that? Sure, you have the freedom to do that. Now listen, having said that, I gotta give this caveat. Don't use these passages to manipulate people into your own legalism either. You know, some people do that. Dude, you can't do that because you're going to stumble me. Don't play the victim. That's not what Paul is. Listen, that's not even the purpose. What he's writing here is to the person who wants to exercise liberty, wants to be that person that I can do whatever I want. Have you ever been around those people? I have. I've watched people do stuff. Listen, I watched people one time. It broke my heart. I watched some people exercising liberty. And I even went to a couple of them and I said, you know, you probably really shouldn't be doing that because you're really going to stumble somebody. And here's what they told me. I have the freedom. I go, yeah, you do. You have the freedom to do that. And as I watched them and went on this journey, I watched a person whose life was destroyed by what they were doing. Because that person then was drug into that same thing, and they couldn't do it. And I'm not going to say what it was, and I'm not going to give you information, but listen carefully. I watched their life, their physical life, destroyed. I watched their marriage destroyed. I watched things going on because five people said, we have the freedom to do this. Listen, do you really want to destroy somebody? Do you want to be that person? I don't want to be that person. I got a lot of freedoms in Christ. We got tons of freedoms in Christ. But you know what? I'm not going to do a lot of things because I want to walk in love. I want love to be the thing that guides me. I want love to be the thing that I make my decisions on how I'm going to interact with others. Oh, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 1, Paul says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But listen what he says. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You want to be a builder or a puffer? Remember, yeah, we do have that, and we do have that freedom. But he says, listen, you're not walking in love. Every time I read that, man, I read that part, and that part just really hits my heart. And then the part about destroying, he's going to use destroying twice in that. So here's what it's telling me. You and I have the ability to really mess up people. Once again, we're not destroying so they're going to go to hell. You don't have that kind of power. Thank God, right? Thank God that we can't send people to hell because a bunch of us would be doing it. Well, we don't have that, but you can sure have the power to train wreck somebody's life. You can sure have the power to put somebody on the skids and have their life begin to spiral out of control because of you deciding, I have the right to do this, and I have the freedom to do this. Now listen, as he goes on, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So listen, don't let your good, you have the freedom to do that and you can do it, but don't let it be spoken of as evil. You don't want people taking out a full page ad and saying, this is a cigar brand you smoke. You know, and then everybody else wants it, right? He says, don't let it be spoken of as evil. And he says, listen, the kingdom of God, first of all, is not about externals. I hope we understand that. Too many people build this whole thing called religion on externals, right? You got to walk a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. You got to get your hair cut a certain way. You got to live a certain way. You got the things you can do. You got the things you can't do. And, you know, there's all of these rules. Some of us grew up in those churches, right? You grew up in churches with a list of rules. That was fun, right? And you're always worried. And here's the big thing. And then you're always thinking, man, I just did that. I wonder if I'm going to go to heaven. Because you're not trusting in a relationship with Jesus. You're trusting in rules. And so listen, we get in that system and we get that whole thing, and here's what he says. That's not what the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's not about eating and drinking or dancing or playing cards or going to the movies or listening to the radio or, you know, or working on a computer or any of that. Listen, it's not about that. That's not what it is. What does he say? The kingdom of God is all about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life to such a degree that righteousness comes through. You're not going to be righteous on your own. I need to tell a few of you that. It ain't going to happen. It'll only happen as you yield your life to Jesus Christ, as you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change you and work in you. And listen, the Holy Spirit's going to come. You're going to become righteous. And then he says you're also going to experience joy and peace. Who doesn't want that? I don't think there's anybody in here going, no, man, I'm all into chaos and arguing and bickering. That's so much more fun. I want joy and peace, right? I want righteousness and joy. And that's what the kingdom of God is. So for all of the external rules, sometimes it's good just to take all of that and just rip it down and not even think about it, and then begin to focus on this thing we call a relationship with God, and begin to understand who He is, begin to understand who we are in Him, and then be careful that because something is bad for you, don't make that bad for everybody else, right? Don't give them a list. Hey, there's some things that are really bad for me. They're not bad for you. I can't tell you you can't do them. I can't do them, but you can do them. You have the liberty. But don't use that liberty in front of me and flaunt it to me. You know, I read a story about some girl was raised in a church where and in a denomination where you couldn't wear makeup. One of those. And she's hanging out with kids at school, and they're putting peer pressure on her. And they go, well, we have the freedom to put on makeup. Watch. You know, and put on their makeup and do that thing. And so she got all bummed out, and so she started sneaking out of the house with no makeup, putting on makeup with her peers because they put peer pressure on her. Not, these are other, you know, Christian kids. And then she would wipe it off when she went home, and then she began to rebel against her conscience. Pretty soon she fell into sexual immorality. You see, it's a little thing. Some of us think, that's a big leap, Pastor Pat. But when you're causing somebody to go against something in their life, you're messing with them. You're hurting them. And that's Paul's point here. Listen, we have to be careful. Verse 18, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Listen, if I choose not to wear makeup because this girl can't wear makeup, then here's the thing. I'm going to be acceptable by God. God is going to say, man, that's a good thing. You're not doing that. I'm not wearing makeup because makeup is evil. I'm not wearing makeup because she can't wear makeup. And if I'm not going to put the peer pressure on her, you guys know I'm using those, so I don't really wear makeup. But listen, I want to make that clear. I'm going to do that because I care about that individual. I'm going to choose not to express that freedom in front of that person. That's huge. And here's what's going on. Paul says, then here's the thing that happens. All of a sudden, obviously, because we're doing the right thing and because there's righteousness, joy, and peace in our life, and those things are acceptable to God. God's looking at us and not looking at us because we're not wearing makeup or wearing makeup. He's looking at us because we're walking in love and because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We're acceptable to God. And then here's even a greater thing. Then we're approved by men because men look at us and go, man, that person cares about other individuals. They're putting others in front of them so they can lift them up rather than tear them down. Oh, that sounds kind of good, doesn't it? Doesn't it kind of sound like what we should be doing as a church? Two of you nod yes, please. Come on, let's listen. If we think about doing this and we think about getting into this, it just gets to me, it gets more and more excited. Therefore, verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace. Now, listen, before, what did he say? We're going to resolve not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's path, right? We're going to resolve not to do that. Now, down here, he says, you and I, we need to pursue the things that make for peace. That word pursue is a strong word. I think most of us kind of understand it in English, right? You pursue after something. When you want something, man, listen, you can want something, but then you can begin to pursue something. And that means you're going after it, right? Like, I'm a gadget guy. I love gadgets. I love when the new gadgets come out. I'm an Apple guy. I like it. I go stand in line when an iPhone comes out. Why? Because I'm pursuing it. I'm one of those guys. People go, seriously, you do that? Yeah. And if it comes out where you can order it, guess what, man? If you can order it on Friday, July 1st, guess what time my alarm clock set for? 12:01, July 1st. I'm up working on a computer. Gainel goes, really? Really? You can't, wait 5 hours? No. Now, a little bit of transparency. Some of you are going to probably quit coming here, but it's okay. But listen... Listen, now, do you pursue the things of peace? So you kind of have an idea of what that word means. Do you go after the things that make for peace? Not world peace, but peace in the fellowship, peace in your heart? Are you pursuing those? Are you thinking, you know what? Man, I can do this, but if I really go after this, if I set my alarm for 12:01 and I get up and I type in everything just right, that's going to happen, man. I am going to be the one, and I'm going to be the one that goes after the things that make for peace. And it's going to bring peace, listen, in my own life, but greater than that, it's going to bring peace in other people's life. It's going to bring peace and harmony within the fellowship of believers. And then we got a small fellowship here, and then it's going to bring peace and harmony in bigger fellowships and in Christianity, and it's just going to explode. And then there will be, check this out, then there will be world peace. Why? Because you decided to pursue peace. You decided to pursue the things that make for peace. So he says, pursue the things that make for peace and the things which by which one may edify another. Have you ever thought about how you can build someone up? You ever just sit and think, man, I wonder what I could do to really encourage them in their faith. What could I do that would take them to that next level? What could I do to, like, put something in their life or say something to them or encourage them in any way that they're going to go further? They're not just going to be that person who, you know, just kind of comes to church and goes home and does stuff. But what can I do to edify them? Isn't that better than tearing down? Isn't building up better than tearing down? Man, and you start, listen, it starts being fun. And then you can begin to scheme ways to get involved in people's lives. And how can you get them to walk further with Jesus? Yeah, listen, I know that's a pastor's heart, but that should be all of our hearts. We should be wanting to build people up. And he says, listen, then he says, you can do that. Or, verse 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Or you could put anything in there. That's a gray area. That's the second time you use that word destroy. And it's not to be taken lightly. Obviously, again, you're not sending someone to hell, but you're destroying. It's destruction. It's tearing apart. It's ripping up. Most of us get appalled when some great work is, quote, destroyed, vandalized, whether it be a piece of art, whether it be, you know, some great architectural thing, whether it be, you know, something we look at it and someone has spent time and energy and et cetera to create this thing, and then someone comes along and they tag it with something or they rip I've never seen anybody rip a Rembrandt, but something like that. Have you ever thought that you can destroy God's work? Wow. Doesn't Ephesians tell us that we're his workmanship? Right? Yeah, we're his workmanship. The word there is like we're his poem. He's like doing something in our lives, and he's working away, and you know, all of us are on this journey. All of us are being worked on. He's not done with us yet. Some of you, I think he's done, but he's not. Listen, he's not done, and we're working, and wouldn't it be a bummer to come along and destroy that? You're the cause of that getting ripped apart. Most of us sitting in this room, I look out, and I'm familiar with a lot of you, some of you not as much, but I'm familiar with a lot of them, and I look out, and I see your faces, and I don't think any of you would go purposely destroy some, you know, famous work of art. And I don't believe most of you would want to destroy a great work of God in somebody's life. But I believe a lot of us are ignorant of our influence on others. And we need to understand that. And we need to live life in light of that and acknowledge that. And he says, listen, he says, don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for the man who eats with offense. Listen, you can do it, but don't offend people. Verse 21, he says, it's good. Neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now, most of your translations stop at, you know, it's not good to do anything by which your brother stumbles. And most of them stop there. But I like the New King James going a little bit further, saying, or is offended or is made weak. Do you hear the heart? Listen, we're finally getting down to the heart. It is better, isn't that what he says? It is good, listen, it's good for you and I, not to eat food, not to drink wine, not to smoke cigars, not to put it all in there, whatever it is. so that we do not stumble a brother or offend them or make them weak. We should live in such a way that we don't want to do that. Again, don't be that weak person and come along and go, you can't do that, and use it for manipulation. If somebody tries to manipulate you, slap them. It's not what this is about. Listen, nothing irritates me more than when somebody comes and pulls that card, because they're just playing with you. You need to know, listen, you need to live around people. You see people. You need to be conscious. You need to ask. Sometimes you just need to ask them. Hey, would it offend you if I did this? If they say yes, okay, I'm not going to do it. Praise God. I'm glad I asked you, because I was about to do it and I don't want to offend you. So we make those decisions, and then, listen, then he tells us, here again, 22, do you have faith? Here he's talking about that person that has that freedom. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Here's what he's saying. If you have faith, you know what? Get alone. You can do some things alone, right? And just go do it, and it's okay. But don't do it with other people. And then, but he goes a little bit further, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Man, I heard somebody totally teach this verse, especially the last part, completely out of context. I was watching TV as a young Christian. It was a televangelist, and he ripped this thing out, man, and he's talking about whatever is not of faith is sin, and telling me how I can get an airplane and an airplane hangar and, you know, all of that if I just had enough faith, and just like obliterating what the word is saying. And listen, but here's all I heard. Whatever is not of faith is sin. That's the Bible part. Hallelujah. I wasn't listening to the rest of that. And it's just ringing in my head. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And it began to ring, man. And I was a newer believer. And you know what? As I began to meditate on that, as I began to chew on that scripture, there are things that I got rid of in my life that I praise God now that he gave me that faith to do that. Because here's how I interpret that. If I can't do it in faith, it's sin. And listen, again, not saying, I got enough faith. But if I can't practice what I'm practicing in front of God, obviously I shouldn't be doing it. If I can't practice what I'm practicing, listen carefully, in front of everybody, maybe I shouldn't do that. Now, I know there's some things we do privately, like we shower and stuff. I get that. Some of you are going, well, don't have to shower anymore. Praise God. Show up stinking. Listen. So, but do you understand? Do you understand what Paul's saying? If you're not willing to do what you're doing in front of all of these people, then why are you doing it? Number one, you're not hiding it from God. I hope you know that. Some of us think God's not looking. No, he's watching. But why are you doing that? And you and I, again, getting back to the thing, are we going to walk in love, or are we going to be that person that destroys other people's lives? Let me kind of wrap this up with another story. This is a story about Chuck Swindoll. I'm using big preachers here today, pulling out the big guns. I was shocked. I didn't ask him if I could tell this story, but he didn't tell it to me privately, so it's in a book, so I figure it's okay. Chuck Swindoll had been on a kind of lengthy speaking tour, I guess, and visiting churches and doing some seminars and stuff. And it was long, and he was traveling, and I guess he'd been away a couple weeks. And he was way away from home, way away from anybody, and went in a restaurant. And he's sitting in this restaurant. He has a menu in front of him. And this may freak some of you out. It's okay. He's looking at the menu, and here's what he thought. Man, a glass of wine would be really good with this. So he's mulling that over. Some of you are going, oh, it's all right. It's all right. Breathe in. Exhale. It's okay. And as he's mulling it over, this guy comes to wait on him, and he says, man, your voice kind of sounds familiar. And then he said, is there any, you know, what can I get you to drink? And he said, I'll have a glass of iced tea. Then he ordered his dinner. Ate his dinner, drank his tea, went to pay for it, gave the guy his credit card, and he goes, you're Chuck Swindoll. I knew that voice. And he says, I need to tell you something. I just came to Christ, and I've been sober for 2 months, and I've been in recovery. Wow. Wow. What would have done to that young man if Chuck Swindoll would have had his glass of wine that he had the freedom to do? What would have it done to that young man that was now experiencing getting delivered? Hey, for that young man, he can't drink alcohol. He can't touch it. What would have it done? You and I need to understand that. We need to live in such a way that we are concerned about even the person who's waiting on us in a restaurant. We need to be concerned about the person who's checking us out in a grocery store. We need to be conscious of what is my life going to do to them, the way I'm living, the things I'm doing. And we need to be aware of that and live in such a way. Now listen, some of you are going, man, that sounds kind of like a little bit of bondage. Well, you know what I found out? Love is freeing, but also love is very limiting. Have you ever thought about that? Like, I'm really in love with this certain lady, my wife. Like, I'm really in love with her, and you know what? That limits my relationship with every other female in the world because I have a relationship with one, and it limits that. Love is limiting if we really think about it, but it's also such a great blessing. So you and I, listen, you and I, are you going to walk in love, or are you going to walk in freedom and knowledge and flaunt it to people? Kind of put it that way. Here's the thing. I want to be Chuck Swindoll. I'd rather be Chuck Swindoll than Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon blew it and crossed over and then had to deal with it, right? And Spurgeon had a whole advertising thing. Swindoll caught himself. Have you ever thought, you know, when you're out like that, if people know you, some of you go, well, they don't know me. I'm nobody. Maybe they do. Maybe they looked across and saw you in church today and tomorrow they're going to wait on you in a restaurant or whatever. Hey, live your life that way. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you again today as you challenge us. And Lord, looking at this portion of Scripture, and Lord, how it just kind of really changed from last week where we're called not to judge people because of their liberty. And now this week we're looking at, yeah, I have the liberty, but it's not always wise to exercise my liberty. And God, from all of that, all I can gather is we need to be men and women who are filled with your Spirit, sensitive to your Holy Spirit, and God, that our lives then would be controlled and governed by your Spirit. And I thank you that you've given us your Spirit. And as we walk through life, when we think about, quote, a Spirit-filled life, that means so many things to so many different people. But ultimately, it should mean this. That as we listen to you and are guided by you, we are going to be a blessing to others. And we're going to be in that position where we're approved by God and honored by God and approved by men. And we're going to see you do some incredible things. So Lord, I do pray that we would kind of keep in our hearts, hide, tucked away inside. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And that we would make that part of our life and we would walk in that in light of that. And that, God, you would be honored with the decisions we make. And I'm going to ask you this morning to stay in an attitude of prayer for another couple moments. And you know what? If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and even as I'm talking about some of these things, you're kind of piqued. And even as I begin to talk about that person that Christ died for, something happened inside of you. And today you're saying to yourself, I don't have that relationship. I don't even understand what that means. Well, you know what? Today is the day of salvation. You're not here by accident. The Bible's very clear that if we sin, the wages of sin is death. Oh, and by the way, it's even clearer that we've all sinned. Everyone in here is a sinner. And the wages of those sin is death. And that's the bad news. The good news is Jesus died for you. When he died on the cross, it was for you, for your sin. And all you have to do this morning is put your faith in that. Trust that. Tell him, number one, that you know you're a sinner. Number two, you're sorry for your sin. Number three, that you want to receive this gift that he's given you of eternal life. And if you do that, you'll be born again and your life will never be the same. Be the greatest decision you ever make. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to kind of help you verbalize that. I'm going to say a prayer. You can say it after me out loud. You can say it silently. But it needs to come from your heart. You need to mean this sincerely. Jesus, today I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And right now I'm asking you to forgive me. Thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you this morning for your forgiveness. And now I want you to come into my life and change me. Jesus, come into my heart and guide me. Today, I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's the cry of your heart and you said that prayer and meant it sincerely or something like it, I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand up in the air, high up in the air, so I can pray for you and celebrate with you and recognize what you've done. Anyone in here this morning? I see yours in the back. God bless you. Way in the back. I see yours up front here, two of you, kind of in the middle. God bless you. Anyone else? Greatest decision you'll ever make. Jesus, we thank you for those hands that went up. Thank you for those individuals. And right now, I pray, God, that you would so make yourself so real to them. That they would understand how great you are. We sang that song. That would be true in their heart and true in their life. And I pray that right now, in this moment, they would begin to experience the depth of your love, your grace. That they would know in this moment that all of their guilt and their shame is washed away by your blood. That they've been set free from the bondage of sin in this moment. And now they're free to worship you and to honor you with their lives. Bless them. Clothe them with those robes of righteousness. And Lord, as we all go forward, we want to be men and women who we're living the Christian life. We're not just doing church, but we're living the Christian life 24/7. In all of the areas of our life, we're plugging in all of these principles that we're learning. And Lord, that you're guiding and governing us. And that we're making a difference in our families and in our communities and in the world. Be glorified in us, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's celebrate with those who made that decision. Hey, for those of you who raised your hand, or you know what, anybody else, you might have said that prayer and kind of didn't raise your hand because you're a little freaked out about it, and I get that, and you know what, it's fine. It's a prayer that saves you, not lifting up your hand. So listen, if you're one of those people, a couple things. We want to make sure, number one, that you have a Bible. If you do not own a Bible, please see us. We want to get a Bible in your hand. Not as a book of rules, but it's a revelation of who God is. The Bible is a revelation of who He is. You got to know the one you're going to fall in love with. So listen, you got to get that. Then secondly, I'm going to ask you to do something kind of difficult. When we're all dismissed, after we have our last time of worship, when we're all dismissed, I'm going to ask you to make your way over here to the prayer room. It's right over here to my right. And go over there, let them know that you want a new believer's packet, that you made that decision to follow Jesus today. You want a new believer's packet. That's vitally important. important for you to get that great stuff in there, kind of and maybe just like set you on that good path. So stop by, let them know that you need the new believers packet. Then you got to let somebody know you made that decision, and that's kind of the hard part. I kind of get it. And I remember when I came clean with Jesus, and I heard somebody tell me you got to tell people, and it was a more of a legalistic guy, and he's telling me I got to call the entire universe and tell them, and I'm thinking, dude, I just came clean with God, man. You think I'm going to talk to everybody else? Like, let me process that. So I get when I say that, some of you go, and you're thinking, no, I don't want to do it. The reason I want you to tell somebody is this. You need to be discipled. Somebody needs to come alongside you and help you and walk with you. And that's why you got to let somebody know you made that decision. And it's either maybe somebody brought you, or let them know when you go to the prayer room, and we'll connect you with somebody. We have people who want to disciple you, want to love on you and encourage you. So let us know. They'll even, the guys here, they'll even take you to lunch. So, you know, so they get mad every time I say that. But listen, let somebody know. And then also, during our 11 o'clock service, every Sunday at our 11 o'clock service in the building next door, in Building B, we have our foundation class going on. It's a six-week class, and it just deals with the solid foundation, so you can have that good, firm foundation to build on and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who He is. So I would encourage you, get involved in that as soon as you can, and go to those classes and do those. And again, like I said, it's 6 weeks. It's on a rotating cycle, so you just kind of start where you start, and when you come back around to that class, you know you're done. So you can take that. Hey, so do that. For the rest of us, as we get ready to go out, you know, once again, man, celebrate the 4th, you know, have hot dogs and burgers and all of that, but also remember to pray for our nation, pray for our country. And, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world, and let's hold it up and pray for it and do that. Also, the next Thursday's communion, if you normally don't come out for Thursday, next Thursday we're doing communion, come out for that. And then we've got the men's study starting up, the tables out there. We got the pottery presentation July 27th. You got CareNet on July 28th at Chili's, and some help in the video room. Hey, lots of stuff happening. Most importantly, when we go out, let's walk in love, huh? Let's be known as that church. That church. That's when people talk about this place, they talk about, yeah, that church, where people come in and they can be healed and they can be put back together and they can be loved on and not judged. That's who we want to be. So let's go out and do that. God bless you guys.